Hello, 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 mamas, and welcome to another episode of Angel Moms Hopes of Heaven, Alana's Song. I am your host today, Angela Presley, and I am so excited to welcome today, Andrea Lee. She is here to tell us about her journey. She's here to tell us about her baby, Amanda. About the purpose that's going on since she lost Amanda. And I am just so excited for her to get started with her story. Amanda, welcome, welcome, welcome to Angel Moms Hopes of Heaven.
Thank you, Angela. It's such a pleasure and I'm honored to be here.
Yeah, yeah. So this is how I kick off each show. We are mamas, so we definitely want to hear about your baby. Just start wherever and tell us whatever you would like for the mom.
Yes, ma'am.
To know about your baby.
Yes, ma'am. The first thing I would say is Amanda always told me that she loved me more than makeup. So that tells you a lot about what you need to know about Manna. And I'll call her between Amanda and Manna and sometimes Paige as I talk about her. And that will evolve through the story of why we do that. But she was wickedly funny, even as a child. Like when I would get mad at her, she would imitate Stuart from Mad TV when he would go, "Look what I can do," and jump around. And I would laugh so hard that I could never discipline that child or stay mad at her.
Oh.
She was so funny. She was very smart. Mm-hmm. And although she was born in Texas, we moved to New Mexico when she was in elementary school. And she loved New Mexico. It had her heart. And she ended up getting a full ride scholarship to UNM in Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm.
And when she went to college, my husband and I moved to Seattle. And at that time, she was fantastic. She was doing well. She was thriving. But for her graduation present from high school, she had asked for cosmetic surgery, which we gave her. And she was given Oxy for pain management after an elective surgery. I was really naive at the time. I didn't know what I know now.
Yeah.
And when she got back to college and her prescription ran out and she was a poor college student, she turned to heroin. And that was the beginning of them.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot to take in. That's something you wouldn't expect for a high school gift, graduation gift. But she loves cosmetics. So yeah. Yeah,
that was Manna. She was all about it. And I was happy at the time that I was able to do it for her because she felt she had poor body image and there was something she wanted to correct. And I was really happy that I had the means that I was able to do that for her. Obviously, I did not know the consequences of my actions by giving her that surgery.
Yeah, and definitely something, like you said, you would not think about that. You know, they're going to give her pain meds. Is there consequences behind the pain medicine?
Yes, ma'am, exactly.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So let's back up some. When she went off to college, she had the surgery, and you guys went to Seattle. That sounds like it's a, you know, pretty far distance apart.
We can't get much further, right?
Yeah. So that in itself, you know, you're just always praying for your kid because you're so far apart. Tell us, was there any, like signs? Were you feeling like something's not right? Was there anything while you guys were apart that you just felt as a mom?
So I love that question. And the first thing I want to say is I always had a premonition. Amanda is my only daughter, and I have a son who's older than her. I always had a premonition that one of my children would not live a full life. And I don't know where that, well, I know where that came from, but I always have known that in the back of my head. And so Amanda went to college, and for 3 years, she hid her heroin addiction from us. For 3 years, she went to college. She was 3.8 GPA. She even worked maintaining a job. And it wasn't until I had given her two credit cards that she had for emergency uses only, and she had never charged on them. And 1 month, the bills came, and they were both maxed out with cash withdrawals. And I knew. And so I booked a ticket and flew out the next morning and surprised her in Albuquerque, and it was horrible. And my son helped me, and we got her into her first of several rehabs. And that's how I found out.
Was she surprisingly, she was still in her place. She still was in her apartment and maintaining, you know, living and working. So
she was. I mean, she was a functioning addict. And, you know, come to find out after we talked, you know, she would, for what she would pay for a pill of Oxy on the street, which was $25 a hit, she could get high the whole day on heroin. And that's what made it so attractive to her.
Wow. See, I'm new to this. So you're
good.
you're teaching me as I'm listening. So you're saying heroin is cheaper on the street than the Oxy?
100%.
Wow.
And when you think about it, you know, heroin addicts came back from Vietnam and they were addicted for 20, 30 years and could live addicted to heroin. Horrible life, horrible existence.
Yeah.
But they lived for that, through that. I believe that my daughter and 120 other angels would still be alive if it wasn't for the addition of fentanyl into our illicit drug system.
Oh.
And yes. that's what killed her.
Yes, I agree with that. Fentanyl has really just kind of taken over. Mm-hmm. And it's a scary thing because it's technically, it's a prescription drug, but it's also a street drug. So you're kind of...
Well, there's a difference between the prescription drug and the legal drug that is available, like in fentanyl patches and lollipops that cancer patients get prescribed when they are ill. And then what is happening are the precursors for fentanyl are being sent to Mexico where they are pressed into fake pills or put in every illicit drug that there is out there. So it's not like there's chemists that are out mixing a bunch of pills and making sure that the doses are right. You end up having what I call the chocolate chip cookie effect, which is it only takes 2 grains of sand or two grains of sugar to kill an adult of fentanyl. So you've got these people that are mixing this in unsanitary laboratories, not in any kind of a medical situation, not controlled, and they are mixing it. So when you get a pill, you may get a pill that has all the fentanyl from that batch in it, just like if you take a bite out of a chocolate chip cookie, you know, there's always that really good bite that has all the chocolate in it. Well, what if you get that pill that has all the fentanyl in it? Or what if you take a pill and you think it's safe because you didn't get the fentanyl in that pill? So you give somebody a pain pill because you think it's okay. But they're the ones that have the fentanyl. And that's the difference between the legal fentanyl and illegal fentanyl.
Wow. This is good stuff. Good information. I'm just soaking it up.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot. Alana was taken by gunfire, and that's a lot. That's a lot that's going on in the streets. So I can just imagine with pills being passed.
And I feel the same way about your beautiful daughter. Like for me, the fact that she was taken from you so young and by gun violence, just like, I just don't know how you deal. You know, it's the same. I think we have the same kind of empathy for one another.
Yes, definitely. I'm going to back up just a little bit for when you and your son went and down to the college, where she was going to college. Was she, when you confronted her with it, was she in denial? Was she willing to do, because she's kept it from you for so long. So how was that when you looked at her and said, I know.
Well, to give you an indication, she left me sitting at the airport for 4 hours while she went and shot up and got good and high, because she, I guess, had figured that I had figured it out. And so when I saw her, she was in her addict brain. And that's something you have to learn to separate, right? You can't be bitter or harp on or think about the acts that she did, or what she did to obtain the drug as an addict. You have to think about her with now her, what she, her heavenly body, where she is now. So, sorry, I lost track. Grief brain. Sorry, I have really bad grief brain. I forgot where I was going with that.
I do too.
But California. So we drove, he got her to California and she was livid. In fact, he was living in California at the time and he had to lock her in a bedroom that night to keep her from leaving, to ensure that she would go to rehab. And that was the first of many rehabs. And honestly, I made a mistake with that rehab. I thought a cushy, bougie rehab would fit her better. I thought she would listen better. I was completely 100% wrong about that. And they were actually the ones who got her. By the time we got her there, she was completely off of heroin. But they put her on Suboxone. And then that was another battle to get her. She got addicted to that. She just had an addiction problem.
Yeah. Now, with you saying that she just had an addiction problem, do you feel, as you look back, do you see anything as a child, or even before the drug addiction, that it was something in her that was needy, that was, you know what I'm trying to get at?
Oh, yes, yeah. Ma'am. Like, you have hit the nail on the head. I absolutely did. And so I started seeing it after her father and I divorced, and he was an absentee father after that, just completely gone out of the kids' lives. And then I remarried and she resented my husband for years because he wasn't her dad.
Yeah.
Then as an adult, I think her brother saw more of what I couldn't see as far as her behavior, and his tolerance was much lower than that of a parent. And so as an adult, they really drifted apart. So you put an absentee father, a brother who you used to be very close with, and he's like done, and he had every right to be done. This is like no judgment on him.
Yeah.
And then you have my husband who was dealing with her as a step parent in addiction for 15 years.
Yeah.
And you combine that together, and I see that she was self-medicating 100%, and her actions in high school, she always had a boyfriend. She wasn't a serial dater, but she was never without a guy. And, you know, it's one of those, I look back and I see the path very clearly now that I wish I could have seen then.
Yeah. Yeah. And just us as moms, we're trying to figure it out.
Yes, ma'am.
This doesn't come with a manual. We're trying to figure out how to be a mom. And then we reflect on when we were teenagers and we're like, she's just going through something.
Yes, ma'am.
She's just going through something. And instead of, why does she have to have a boyfriend? Why does it always have to be someone? Yeah.
It's all about mental health. Anytime you look at addiction, I feel like it's all goes back to mental health. And I think that there's a lacking now in our society of that being accepted. And I feel like your platform is so important because you give moms like me a chance to shout our angels' names with no stigma. Yeah. And that's something that is still felt with the fentanyl deaths and addiction is stigma. And I would just like to banish that off the planet.
Yeah. Because I'm sure you come across, well, you know, she brought it on herself, or, you know, no one put the pill in her hand, or, you know, forced her to. So I'm sure that's something that you as a mom come across. And
you know, I just respond with, no child ever wanted to grow up and become an addict.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just such an ignorant thing for somebody to say. How else can you respond?
Yeah, that's a good response to give.
Yeah.
Who wants to be an addict? Who wants to be an addict?
Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. So how many rehabs did you have to get her into before you felt like, okay, we're making progress here, this is a good fit for her?
So there ended up being a total of 5 rehabs across the country for several different things. At first it was for the heroin. Then we had to wean her off Suboxone, which was a 2-year process. And I'll back up by saying, by this time she was in Seattle with me, and I kept her with me for the next 10 years, trying to keep her clean. So all of these relapses happened while she was under our roof. So I'm sorry, I have really bad grief brain. Put me on track again.
Getting her into rehabs across the country.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. So then after we got her weaned off of Suboxone, it was heroin again, and that was another rehab in Utah. And then for a while, we let her stay in Utah. We thought that that would be a safe place, but it was not. And so I brought her back to Seattle. Then we moved to South Carolina. There was a rehab there for heroin. The very last rehab she went to was in North Carolina, and I finally got smart and I put her in a state-run facility where there was people from jail and people who were looking at her going, don't you know what you have? We would give anything to have what you have. Why are you here? Yeah. You don't belong here. And it took hearing that from peers and from people that had gone further than the place that she had gone to resonate with her. And I wished I would have done that first, you know, but you do the best that you can, only what you know, right?
Yeah.
So she came back, and my husband and I had a really good business opportunity in Florida, and she had been clean for a year. She had reconnected with her college boyfriend who had broken up with her because she was using drugs. And we told her, we think you're okay. I mean, we really thought it was going to stick. And we said, we're moving to Florida and you can't come. It's time that you go find your own way. Mm-hmm. And another guy, again, came and rescued her. And all I could think of was, oh, thank God Justin's back in her life. What a nice guy. Not thinking of the underlying reasons why she needed to have another guy come rescue her. And she thrived for the first 2 years that she was with Justin in Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm. When you told her that, okay, we're moving here, you're doing great, we feel like you need to find your way, how did she receive that?
At first, she was scared. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of conversations about that. Then when she felt like she was strong enough, I think is when she reached out to Justin, because I think she needed that little, she needed somebody there who was going to be there for her to go home to. He actually drove from South Carolina and got her. And when she left, we were all happy. She was excited. She was happy. She was in love. We were excited to get our marriage back.
Yeah.
And excited to get our pre-addiction life back, because it consumes your life and your marriage. And we were happy for her that she was clean and sober, and we thought doing so well.
Yeah. Am I clear in saying that no matter what state, what city, no matter where you are, an addict can find where they need to go to get drugs?
Yes, ma'am. That is exactly what I'm saying. There is no safe city. There is no place in America that you cannot get it, that you cannot score it. It is everywhere.
Wow. Wow. And you just want to take them and wrap them in a safe cocoon, but this is life. And yeah.
I mean, at what point do you say, okay, you're 25, we've given you all the tools, because we were in and out of therapy, of course, as well. We've given you all of the tools to succeed. We're pushing you out of the nest so you go fly. And she did.
Yeah.
Until she didn't.
Yeah. 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 So with the boyfriend coming to get her, she kind of pulled the wool over his eyes also. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. It ended badly, and Justin and I are still in communication. He's doing wonderful. He's a great guy. I have nothing but wonderful things to say. He did what he could, and at the end, he ended up taking the brunt of her addiction because he was the one there. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I was the next question I was going to ask for you to go ahead and take us into the day that I like to say Amanda moved to heaven.
I love how you say that. I've heard you say that about Alana. I love how you say that.
Yes.
So I'll start with the night before, because by this point, she and Justin had broken up. She was dating a horrible, horrible guy. And I could tell she was using again. She was very, very thin. And she always did this thing where she repeated herself when she was high. But I also know she didn't want to die, because the night before we got the phone, she was moving into a new apartment by herself. Now, this was 2020 during COVID, which also had a lot to do with her mental decline and the choices she made with men and with drugs. She was moving into her own apartment and she FaceTimed us. And so Rick and I were on FaceTime, and she was walking me through the apartment and showing me everything. You know, people that want to die don't look forward to anything.
Yes.
And so I could tell she was high. Mm-hmm. And I had told her, if I ever can tell that you're high, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want anything to do with you.
Okay.
And so my last words to her were, Amanda, I can tell that you're high. I'm very proud of you and I love you, but I can't talk to you right now. Mm-hmm. Now, my husband stayed on the phone with her another 30 minutes, which I'm very grateful for now. And we went to bed. Well, the next morning, and I can't remember why Rick was home, but he was home, and my phone was in the other room, and his phone rang, and it was Justin. And I knew. Mm. The second I saw it, I knew. I stood up, and I heard him say the words, because Rick answered it on speakerphone. And I screamed so loud, the neighbors thought that I was being attacked.
Yeah.
And came over. And so that's how I first got notification. Of course, the sheriff's office of Santa Fe called me, and then the her boyfriend, the doster, had the audacity to call me. That was the third call I got.
Yeah. My deepest condolences.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. I get it. I get it.
I know you do, Mama. I know you do. And, you know, that's why we both do what we do, right?
Right.
Yeah.
We get it. Yeah. So, we both know, but we're going to say it for all the moms out here. Give us an idea of the fog. Give us the fog. How did you get through? And we're still working through.
Yeah, I still, I've lost my track twice in this conversation. I still struggle with grief brain. It was horrible. I don't remember flying to Santa Fe.
Yeah.
I have memories of her memorial. It was a party, actually. And so I have memories of that. I don't have memories from beginning the drive home and for 3 months after that.
Yeah.
And I guess I hallucinated. Mm-hmm. I was paranoid. Mm-hmm. I laid in bed. My husband, bless his heart, had to go to work. He's a veterinarian and has to take care of animals.
Yeah.
And I would lay in bed all day with our dogs, and he would come home and make me something to eat and make me drink. He had to take all the guns out of our house.
Yeah.
Because I thought about how I was going to sit in a bathtub and shoot myself in the head, and it wouldn't create a mess for him.
I get that.
I have been there, and I begged that man to take me to a mental institution. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to feel it anymore. Mm-hmm. And by prayer and by my husband telling me, I'll do it, Andy, but if I do, you're going to regret it the rest of your life. Until finally one day he said, okay, if you say that to me again, I'm taking you. Mm-hmm. And I prayed. And when I pray and I talk to God, I get these butterflies in my tummy. And like, it starts right behind my heart. I know it's silly, but it starts right behind my heart. And it goes all the way down to my stomach, to my belly button.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that I ever felt that. And I was like, I feel happy.
Yeah.
Like for the first time since Manna died, I feel happy.
Yes.
And every time I pray, I feel happy.
Love it.
So it was a combination between the Lord mm-hmm. and my husband, who had common sense and knew, which was also given to him by the Lord.
Yes.
Who knew that if I went in, I might not ever come out.
Yeah.
And that's how.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
How is Amanda's brother? How's your son? How did he take it? And how is he adjusting? And
it's crazy that you're asking me this question, because at first, I don't think he blamed me. I think that he was tired of Amanda getting all that attention for 10 years when he was the good kid, right?
Yeah.
He went to the Navy. He's a cryptologist. He went on 2 deployments. He became a disabled vet. He's doing great now, but he got injured. He is a hero. And here I am focusing all my time and attention for the last 10 years. Well, now we're into almost 15 years as adults. And so our relationships was fractured because of that.
Yes.
And he married an incredible, incredible woman. And she and I have worked very hard. And my son has put in the hardest work. Mm-hmm. And we are now reunited. In fact, my daughter-in-law brought my granddaughters to see me last week and spent the week with us. My son and I talk regularly. We FaceTime regularly. He is in my life, present in my life more than he has been in 15 years. And I can honestly say at this point in my life, my heart is full and I'm happy.
Wonderful. Wonderful. He
had to heal. He had to get over it. And once I had to give him the space to say, I'm here. I'm your mama. I love you. And when you're ready, I was ready years ago. Mm-hmm. And it had to happen on his time. And when it happened, it was more beautiful than I ever thought it could. Wonderful. And I give thanks to God and I give him the praise and the thanks.
That's right. That is right. It's all in timing, all in God's timing.
Isn't it? Yes, it is.
And it's just something when we don't mean to, but as mamas, this one needs a little more attention. We're looking at the others as you're strong.
You're strong, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. But they still want mama's attention and love like you're giving the others.
Yeah, if we could have a redo only, right? I would definitely change that. And you know, I would definitely let him know more how much I loved him and how much he meant to our family. Yeah. So we've got it now, and I'm just thrilled.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I am so excited and happy for you.
Oh, thank you, Angela.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tell us about the movement that you're involved in. How did that come about? I know when our babies moved to heaven, now it's like, how did this happen? Where do I go? Somebody tell me something, you know? So tell us how you found the movement and how you got involved.
I love that question because I was actually helped out by another angel mom who I consider a hero, and her name is April Babcock, and she runs Lost Voices of Fentanyl. And I was recommended to join her group. I did. April reached out to me personally. I didn't know anybody in the community. April made me feel welcome. And although I could never, ever fill her shoes and I would never try, she was a great inspiration to me. And so that is actually, first it was April, and then she puts on a rally every year in September where those of us who have lost children to fentanyl march in DC. And I went to the first rally by myself, mm-hmm. and I connected with all these other angel parents.
Wow.
And I connected with two gentlemen. The first one is the founder of the organization that I'm now the vice president of. And his name is Michael Gray, and he's a very godly man. He and I really connected on not just a fentanyl level, but a spiritual level as well.
Yeah.
And then I met the president, Ed Kabilis, and he and I hit it off. He lost his son, and we hit it off. We had the same values. We had the same mindset. He was about in the same place as his grief as I was, a little bit further. And I liked their platform. It's mm-hmm. a coalition where we support other coalitions as well. And I loved that aspect of it. And so I just made a conscious choice to align myself with the Fentanyl Awareness Coalition. And that's where I do the majority of my work.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Give us just a little hint of what it is that you do in the coalition, and maybe moms that are listening that need you and need that information, you know, it'll be like head, you know, to hit them on the head. Like, this is what she's doing is what I'm needing to get involved with.
Yes, ma'am. So, one of the things that I have done is I am in the process of appointing state representatives. We need at least one or two moms or dads from each state who has lost a child due to fentanyl, because we want to make as much noise as possible. And one of the things we believe is you start at the bottom level. And at first you need to start talking at a local level. And we would like to be able to start talking then at a state level and hopefully even a federal level to bring awareness to this campaign. So we've appointed state representatives to do that. We are very big on mental health, and we have a presentation that we put together for mental health facilities, rehab facilities, and we will travel and we will go speak anywhere that we're asked. And then our Facebook page, the Fentanyl Awareness Coalition, we have several people that just scour other sites, news organizations, any information that they can about fentanyl to always keep, and we always vet, I should back up, we don't pass on false information. So to always keep our members updated as to what's going on. We also allow, and we love it when members talk about their children, and we love to get to know their children. So it's just a place to come together for awareness and education. And that's really what it's all about, is saving other parents and other children.
Yes. Wonderful. That's a wonderful movement.
Thank you.
Great job. Amanda's cheering. She's cheering.
I know. I know she is. I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah. So before we wrap up, is there anything that you would like to say that if your child, if you suspect that your child is going through this addiction, what to look for, or even after they have lost their baby, what did you do to, any advice that you can give to either before or after going through this journey?
So to anybody listening to this, I would say learn from my mistakes. Please don't make the same mistakes. I tried to be a friend to my daughter when she was an addict, and that did not work. I tried to cut her off, and I was not strong enough to cut her off completely. Listen to the experts. They're experts for a reason. And try to remember that if you do have a child with substance use disorder, that their actions are those of someone with an addict brain and is not the same child that will talk to you when they are sober. And the one big thing that I did to heal was at her memorial, I had her cremated, but I had her ashes divided up into little containers. And I don't know how I've never heard of this. I can only say that Amanda came through and told me that this is what she wanted. So I had her ashes divided up into little containers. And I asked that everyone who wanted to take a piece of manna with them to please do that. I said, whether you spread it at your, spread her at your favorite place or keep her in your home, I want you to take her ashes. And my first tattoo that I had done is, she's gone, but she's everywhere. And I believe that that's something I did just to help me. I, like I said, I don't know how I came up with it. It had to be Manna telling me. Yeah. And so now I still get pictures where Manna has been spread when her friends take vacations or, and between that and then reaching out on Facebook and connecting with other angel moms, because nobody understands that you've lost a child, as you well know. Yeah. Unless you've lost a child.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. That's good stuff. She's gone, but she's
Thank
everywhere.
You.
I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
So, but a couple of more things before we wrap up.
Yes, ma'am.
Is Facebook the only place where you or your organization can be found? Let the mamas know all of your places.
Thank you. Well, they can go to our website and check out our organization. It's www.thefac.org. They can also join our Facebook page, which is the Fentanyl Awareness Coalition. They can certainly send me a friend's request. I talk to mamas all day long. And my personal Facebook page is Andrea Sommerfeld Lee. And hopefully that name will be spelled in the introduction, so yeah, I don't have to do it. And then that's it.
All right. Okay, Amanda, this is the question that I ask all of my mamas before we wrap up the show. And I love it. Amanda, tell
us. Andrea.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You know what? Everybody does that, and I consider it an honor.
Yeah.
I love it. But yeah.
You know what? I get called Alana so much on the episodes.
Do you mind?
Not at all.
Me either.
Not at all. Andrea. I get called Alana so much.
So see, that means they're both here right now and they're probably laughing at us.
They're laughing. Andrea.
Yes, ma'am.
What are your hopes of heaven?
This is like so easy for me to answer. I don't even have to think about it. So this is what I believe. I believe that the reason that I'm able to be as strong as I am now after such a short time, it hasn't even been 3 years, and I believe I'm where I am with the Fentanyl Awareness Coalition because I believe that Manna is doing two things up there. I believe that she's moving matrices and she's proud of me and she is helping me get where I need to be. I don't just believe it, like I know it in my soul.
Yes.
The second thing that I know she's doing, and I think a lot of our angel children are doing, I think they're welcoming the other children that whose deaths happened so fast, like our daughter's death did. And I think that they are up there almost like a guide showing them exactly how to navigate heaven.
Wow. Wow.
And it's that simple.
Wow. Love it. Love it. Love it. I ask these questions at this question, particularly at the end, because I eat, sleep, and drink heaven. If you've written a book about it, I've read it. I've YouTubed every video, you know. So
okay,
I want, it never fails, Angel Mom gives me another perspective.
So you haven't heard that before then?
No, I love it. I have not heard that before. Yes, yes, Amanda Andrea. I love your hopes of heaven.
Thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to share Amanda's story and my story and my hopes of heaven. It has been a true pleasure to be on your podcast. Yeah.
Such an honor to have you. And I know that you have definitely put some awareness with me. So I know with other mamas, they're just going to soak it up, and you're just helping us along the way. So we thank you.
You're so welcome.
Us. Yeah.
Oh, you're so welcome. Really. Yeah. It was my pleasure.
Yes. So mamas, thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you the next episode of Angel Moms Hopes of Heaven. Thank you.